want you to open your Bible to John chapter number 13, if you will. John chapter number 13. And as the preacher said, we have been looking at this idea of service and dealing with it throughout the week. And of course, you know our introductory, everybody that's here tonight knows our introductory where we have dealt where the Lord Jesus Christ is being tempted. And there he's taken out on that high mountain and given opportunity to view the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them. And the devil said, all this I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And then he basically said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and then him only shalt thou serve. And the idea is we need to understand that our worship is in direct proportion to our service for God. Whatever it is you serve and work, I mean, whatever it is you worship, may I say, that's what you'll be serving. That's what you'll give yourself to. And as the preacher said, we've been looking at different aspects of this idea of service. Tonight, I want to look at the aspect of the picture of service. The picture of service. Notice in verse number 3, we'll read 3 verses here. And then get into the thought tonight as we look at the picture of service. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Let's pray. Our gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the privilege and the honor of being able to be here tonight in the service. And Lord, we're thankful for our friends that have gathered here tonight. Lord, we've come for more than just to hear a message. We've come more to more than just to have our intellect stirred. But Lord, we have come that you may speak to our hearts. And Lord, that the fertile soil of our heart would receive the engrafted word of truth. And Lord, it would spring forth and bring forth fruit in our heart and in our life. Lord, receive all the glory. And we'll love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're doing, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I made mention of this last night, but I want to say it again. When we come to the area of service, there's no better source of information concerning the subject of service than the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night, as we looked at John chapter number 12 and verse number 26 specifically, we saw where Jesus begins to define the principle of service. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And we looked at those principles that are set forth there. But tonight, when we come to John chapter number 13, we see Jesus as he draws a picture for us of service. Notice the Bible said, and he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. See, the truth is, if one really wants to know something about service, we need only to study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get this, for his entire life was a life of service. Everything he did from coming through a virgin womb until the time he arose and went forth and back to the right hand of the Father. Now listen to this. You say, has he stopped serving? I want to ask you a question. He's now there seated, making intercession for us day and night at the right hand of the Father. You say, what's Jesus doing? He is forever being a servant unto his people. He is the beautiful picture. He's the epitome of service. And in other words, tonight I want us to take some time. And I want us to look at just several instances into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. and his words and his works and his will and see some areas where we can see a picture of service. Put something there, if you will, in your Bible and turn over to Matthew chapter number 20 just for a moment. And if you're taking notes, write it down. I want us to look at a picture of the position of service. The position of service. In Matthew chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 25, Jesus has his disciples there with him, and they're making this journey. They're traveling there. And the Bible said in verse number 25, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes," now notice this, "that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them." But notice the next phrase. "But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Now notice this. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and to give his life a ransom for many." In other words, here Jesus pictures for us the picture or the position of service. And I love the way, I don't know if you enjoy it the way I do, but I enjoy the contrast in the Bible. I like the way the Lord contrasts different things. It seems like that it has the ability for me to give a greater insight into what he's trying to explain. And here within our text, with this story, the disciples are here, and he's going to make a contrast between those individuals there that he calls in verse number 25, the princes of the Gentiles, and he's going to make a contrast in the life that you and I or his disciples are to live. Now, notice here, there's something interesting. When we come on this scene, I notice the way that, I don't know why I need to say it, but notice the timing in which Jesus does everything. You say, what's significant? The timing that Jesus is going to give this lesson, notice that the disciples are in a disarray. There's the absence of unity. There's the absence of a bond between them. You say, why is that? They've just come out and they've been angry among one another. They broke in verse number 20 down through verse number 24, and they're angry about who is to be the greatest among them, who's going to sit on one side and who's going to sit on the other side in the kingdom of God. And so here they are. They're at odds with one another. And their chief interest is greatness. Who's going to have the authority? Who's going to have the power? Who's the one that you look up to? And so all of a sudden they're in this battle here, even there in verse number 24 there. He's talking there. The 10 of them are moved with indignation against the two brothers. Their mothers come out and ask for a position. In other words, there's indignation that are there. And he begins to talk about these rulers here, these princes of the Gentiles. And he's talking about, and he said, you know, you're talking about a group that exercises authority. You're talking about a group that seems to want to reign over, that are philanthropists, that live among other people. But notice I made mention of it in verse 26. "But it shall not be so of you." Notice the contrast here. On what the disciples think is great and what Jesus thinks is great is totally different. And he pictures for them, first of all, he pictures in verse number 25, secular greed. Secular greed. Notice he says there in verse 25, he talks about the princes. That word princes there means first in rank and power. In other words, socially or in a secular society, these are the folks that seem to have the power. They're the ones that seem to sit upon the throne. They're the ones that seem to always in rank and file operate or occupy those elite positions. But then he noticed this word, exercise authority. It means to lord over, to lord against, to control, to bring one under the control or domination of another. In other words, he says, when you look at this group of people that you so are desirous to emulate, he says these princes, when you view them, you think that they're the object of service. You think they're the object of greatness. You think that they're the ones that are worthy to emulate in your life. But may I say, that's the way the secular society views it, and you're looking on it in the wrong way. You're looking at it from a natural man's perspective. They've got dominion over. They've got authority over. May I say, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. And he emphasizes verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. In other words, he's saying, in contrast, that's nothing like what you're to do or what you're to be as a child of God. In other words, and let me say this, what is true of the disciples is true of us. May I say, that's not to be of us. That's not to be our mentality. In other words, Jesus said, that's a picture of secular greed is what that's a picture of. But then notice in verse 26 and verse 27, he gives a picture of spiritual greatness. He said, let me tell you what real greatness is. He says over there, and I read the verses, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. In other words, that whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Notice some things here. In that first part, he said, and whosoever be great. That word great there means big, exceedingly loud or mighty. He's saying, you want me to tell you how to pick out who is the person that you should want to emulate in their mightiness, in their bigness, in their exceeding large greatness? He said, let me tell you who it is. It's your minister. That word minister there is an obsolete word meaning to run errands. To be a waiter of tables, to one that occupies a menial, in other words, menial duties of life. It's a picture of a Christian teacher or pastor. Technically, it is a term used for the deacon of the church. Now, I understand that we're considering deacons. We're getting ready to implement. May I say, if you want to know what your position is, right here it is. Right here in this text. It's that obsolete word for run errands, wait tables, menial duties. That's the position. But then he says in verse 27, who would be chief? That means foremost in time, place, and order or importance. He said, you want to know who the most important person in the ministry is? Who the most important person is when we consider in the kingdom of God? He said, it's the servant. He said, it's that in the qualified sin, that one that is under submission, that one that is subservient in his attitude. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. I believe where he talks about greatness, he's talking about their power. I believe when he talks about being chief, he's talking about their position. In other words, what I believe Jesus is saying, if you want to know who is chief in power, and you want to know who is chief in position, I'll tell you who it is. It's the minister, and it's that one that will be a servant that's subservient to the needs of others. He said, that's the position of a servant. That's where they're to be. Well, Jesus, that makes for pretty good talk. But how about putting shoe leather on? He said, okay, I will. And notice this, even as the Son of Man came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and give his life a ransom. For me, notice that word minister there in verse 28. This phrase is a word that minister is the same word in verse number 26. Now notice what it means. To be attendant, to be a host of friends and to do menial tasks. You know what Jesus said? I'm not just telling you what it is. I'm showing you what it is. I'm willing to be that. You listen, you know, over and over as you read the disciples, or read the story of Jesus and interacting, you know, they always were just quick-natured in wanting to jump out there. And you can see their I don't know what you want to really call there, but the one time there's a town that doesn't want to receive Jesus. Can we call fire down to heaven from them? In other words, people show up bringing all their young and say, hey, get away. We ain't got time for these kids. You know what Jesus said the first time? You don't know what spirit you're of. And then he said, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about that lowly, that menial, that, you know, maybe I'm all wrong, but don't bother me after the service. But brother, I can actually see in my own mind's eye, I can see Jesus taking a small child up in his arm and pulling a sticker out of his foot. I can see maybe a child crying over a bruise, and I can see the Lord kissing. Maybe he's kissing his brow or rubbing his hair or what. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying he's that one that there's... And please forgive, he's the Son of God. He's God himself. But there was nothing below him that he wasn't willing to do to minister the hearts and lives of others. Amen. Jesus is saying to us, if you really want a picture of the position, if you really want to know what it's like, he said, let me tell you what it's like. It's a willingness to take that subordinate place to whereby that's the ones that's got all the power. That's the one that's got all the position. I'm not going to have you turn over there for the sake of time, but if you will, write down Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35 through verse number 38. Over there, Jesus is talking about lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already. And he makes this statement, and I don't want you to get this. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. In other words, when he looks out at a world that's lost and dying and going to hell, here's what he says. Pray, because the biggest need is laborers and not lords. You say, what do we need, Brother Bob? We need laborers. And the position that a true servant occupies, this will be a position of menial subservience to do whatever they need to do to minister the needs of others. But then turn, if you will, back to John chapter number 13, if you will. And notice, if you will, in the text, not only do we see a picture of the position of service, but I love this, we see a picture of the person of service. You know what excites me? Jesus not only painted a picture of service, but he poses for the picture himself. He's painting a portrait of his own self. See, if you're taking notes, please get this. Greatness is not asking for a throne. Greatness is asking for a towel. The disciples, you know what their mother just asked for? A throne. And Jesus Christ, the picture of a true servant, is asking for a towel. Jesus would stoop to take the most menial place of service in the house. If you will, I want you to put something there in your Bible again and turn. I want you to see it. I don't want you to miss it. Turn over to Luke. Turn over to Luke chapter number 7, if you will, Luke chapter number 7. And I want to show you a picture out of the Word of God. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 44. Jesus has went to eat in the home of a Pharisee. And when he's got there, there's a woman that of sort of a questionable personality that has come in, and she begins to fall down at Jesus' feet. And while she's there, she anoints him and she begins to kiss his feet. And Simon, the Pharisee, has some trouble about that. And notice when we pick up in verse number 44, Jesus is saying, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is given, the same loveth little." Now, here's what I want to draw attention on. I want you to draw attention to what Jesus is talking about, are the activity that Jesus is talking about. In other words, he makes a reference to this woman and what she's doing. In other words, she does three specific things to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And the position she has taken here is the position in a house, the most lowly of all the servants was to occupy the position this woman's taken. In other words, when you were to go into be invited to someone's house and you were a guest at that house, there was three things they would do for you. They would, first of all, they would provide water that a servant would wash your feet. They would provide a kiss upon the cheek of greeting, and they would put oil as the oil of gladness or welcome upon your forehead or upon your body as a picture of refreshment. Now, in other words, the servant that was to do that was the lowliest of the bunch. You say, what has Jesus Christ just done over in John chapter number 12? He has taken the position of not just any servant in the home. He has taken the position of the most lowly servant in the home. He has girded a towel to wash the feet of all that would come in to that home. I'm saying that when we look at Jesus' life, we can see this picture of humility. We see him as he takes the most lowly of all the places that a servant could go. He takes the lowliest. Jesus did not take that place of honor, but he took that humble place. In other words, and please get this, God is not asking for fractional surrender. He's asking for total surrender. Let me say it again. God is not asking for fractional surrender. He is asking for total surrender. But then notice, if you will here, turn back, if you will, to our text in John chapter number 13. And notice, if you will, finally, not only do we see the position, and not only will he see the person, but I want you to look, if you will, at the practice of service. Look there again, if you will, at chapter number 13, verse number 4, down through verse number 5. "And he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded." Now, I'm talking about the practice of service. Notice the Bible said, "And he laid aside his garments." Notice, first of all, if you will, we see the submission. We see the submission of his wealth. The submission of his wealth. Notice, first of all, there's the submission of his wealth in the spiritual, the heavenly realm. Now, I'm going to read the verses. You know it by heart. I don't want you to turn over there. But it's found in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 6 down to verse number 9. This is what it said. And who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In other words, you say, what did he do? I'm talking about the submission of service. In other words, the picture of this practice. He submitted, or there is the submission of his spiritual wealth. Jesus is not just God. He is co-equal with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. But yet he thought it not something to be hanged on to. He was willing to lay it, just like he laid his garments aside. He laid that aside for the period of time until the day comes that he receives the kingdoms of this world. But notice, not only do we see the submission of his spiritual wealth, but notice we see the submission of his physical wealth. Now, you say, what do you mean, Brother Bob? Not only when he came to this earth was there a submission to the spiritual, but there was a submission to the secular or the physical realm. Now, listen to what it says. You can help me. I stand to be corrected. But I believe I can honestly say that the only wealth that Jesus ever had is what he had on his back. Over there, some of the folks come down there and wanted to know where he resided. They wanted to go with him, go home. This is what he said. The foxes have holes and the birds there have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He said, I don't own any property here. I don't own a place of residency here. May I say, when it come to paying his taxes, you say, what did he do? He sends John out there to cast in a hook, and take up a fish to pay his taxes. And then in John, I'm not going to go there, but you write down John chapter number 19, verse number 23 through verse number 24. The greatest thing of wealth that he had was a seamless robe. That's the reason there that the guards gambled at the feet of the cross. That seamless robe, in other words, there was not a seam in it anywhere. They didn't want to tear it. They didn't want to ruin it. So they gambled to see who would get it. Now think about this just for a moment. Think about the God of glory that came into this world, that never owned property, that never had enough monetary wealth to pay his taxes. And the only thing that he left behind was a seamless robe that they gambled at the foot of the cross to get from him. See, service in the life of a servant means submission of your wealth. Now, I wrote this, and I want you to write it down. You say, why? Because I want to remember it. I want to remember it. Spiritual or heavenly wealth. See, service is giving up today what you cannot take with you tomorrow. Service is giving up today what you cannot take with you tomorrow. You say, well, what kind of wealth can I have when I get over there? Only what you send ahead of you. Only what you send ahead of you is the only thing that you can have when you get over there. It's what you do here for the honor and for the glory of God. Service is not only submission of the wealth, but it's submission of his will. Notice in John chapter number 13, verse number 1, now therefore the feast of the Passover. Now notice this, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. You say, what do you mean? Service is the first and the foremost thing in the will of God for our lives. And Jesus knew that. Service is not about getting honor. It's about humility. Jesus would hold nothing back. When others were reaching for the throne, Jesus was reaching for the towel. Jesus is our picture of what a true servant is to be. Would you stand, please? Our gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being able to be in the service tonight. And Lord, I thank you tonight for the most beautiful picture of service and the picture and the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. Lord, I thank you for such a loving God, a great God, a God that would give everything just for me, just to redeem me out of the pits of the damned and set my feet upon a solid rock, establish my going and prepare a place for me that I could go to when this life is over. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in the furtherance of the service, and we'll love you and praise you, for we ask it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.